We'll pop yourself a beer or a cold libation. Let me tell you about the sax little thing. I heard the latest show from brother Jason, and he's gonna put a coda on the thing. I asked if it was dead like Walsh or Gossett, and I'm sending Gary G. Ward. He said he'll give up hope, but I'm just a little tired, and I know that I can take him at his word. And if there's a silver lining to my brother's latest handbook, I'd have to think it goes something like this. When it comes to gaming episode and turning out new episodes, playing at the table that we'll miss. The Nerds Variety Podcast. The Nerds RPG Podcast. The Nerds Variety Podcast. The Nerds RPG.
Welcome back to the Nerds RPG Variety Cast. I'm your host, Jason. There at the top of the show, we heard a new song from TJ. TJ sent me that after I announced that I'll be closing the doors at the end of the month, and I really appreciate it. It's poignant, and it's going to go well with some of the calls I have to play this episode. But just because the end of April will be the end of the show does not mean I'm not going to bring you high-quality content. I do have the pre-recorded Water Hill retrospective movie reviews with other podcasters that I'm going to be playing. In addition, I'm going to try to get at least one more movie review recorded before the end of the month, so you'll get that, and one interview with a game designer recorded before the end of the month. So I'm still going to bring you great content up until the very end. I'm not just going to lay back and put out the things that I just haven't got to yet. I'm actually going to work and try to give you guys top-tier content. I have a number of calls this episode. Most are reacting to the news, but there is one specifically about Southern Comfort, the most recent Water Hill retrospective episode. And so I'll be playing that. Look forward to that. Until then, though, till we open up the mailbag, I do have a couple things I want to talk about. Okay, this episode is episode 616. I don't number all my episodes really 630-something, but of the numbered episodes, it's episode 616. And 616 is the universe designation of the Marvel's comic universe, as Marvel Comics fans know. So I can't think of 616 without thinking of Marvel Comics. Now, there is a new role-playing game out, a fairly new role-playing game out, which is published by Marvel itself, and you can see gameplay videos of that on YouTube over at the Geomologist Presents YouTube channel, so check that out. But I want to talk about the comics themselves. You know, I, of course, as a kid, was always into Spider-Man and that kind of thing, the Incredible Hulk. But the first comic series I really followed, instead of reading an issue here, issue there, was ROM Space Knight. And the first issue I had was Easter of 1980. It was ROM number 4, March 1980, where, well, we won't go into the whole ROM background and what happened in each issue here, but I really enjoy the ROM series. ROM actually started as a toy. It was a Parker Brothers toy. The property is now owned by Hasbro, but, and I had one of those ROM toys back in the day, this little figure, you know, it's the size of Action Man, and, It came with different things you could do and had lights that would beep and things like that. And I had a couple of those over the years. I don't currently have a ROM toy, but yeah, they're pretty cool. That said, they never sold well, but the comic did pretty well. The comic did much better than the toy ever did. The comic series lasted 75 issues, I think 4 annuals. I actually have all those in print. And Marvel is just been able to license with Hasbro to do omnibus editions of these. So there's now, the first one is out, and there's two more coming out. They're about 25 issues in each one, plus they're going to have the annuals and the tie-ins. Rom interacted with a number of Marvel superheroes, from the X-Men to Power Man and Iron Fist to the Incredible Hulk to the Thing, the Fantastic Four. Lots of crossovers. Near the end, a lot of work with S.H.I.E.L.D. Really cool that this stuff's being reprinted finally. And even though I own the originals, I am picking up these big omnibuses to have those. And that's kind of what led me to talking about Rom here today, because I just got that first omnibus. You know, Rom is a really interesting character. So the idea is his world was under attack. You know, he's alien. They were under attack by the Dire Wraiths. And the Dire Wraiths in the Marvel Universe are a deviant version of the Skrulls. So in the Marvel Universe, unlike the movies, spoilers for the Eternals movie, but unlike that, the Celestials would go, and they're like space gods, and they experimented. So they'd go to a world, and they would make different DNA versions of the creatures that lived on that world. And some of those were called deviants, which were kind of more, they ended up being bad guys in comics, right? So they ended up making a deviant version of the Skrulls, which are the green shape-shifting race you see in the Marvel movies and the Marvel comics. And that was what became the Dire Wraiths. Now, the Dire Wraiths are also shapeshifters. The female Dire Wraiths ended up, you know, we're falling into the whole witch stereotype here, but they became spellcasters and into sorcery, and they were banished from the Skrulls because of that. And they ended up having their own world called Wraith World. Well, they decided to invade Rom's world. And so what that world did is it made their heroes into space knights. It made, not superheroes, but it, you know, took the men and the women in the community and took volunteers, and it grafted them in and made them cyborgs into the space knight armor. And, you know, this real powerful cybernetic armor. And they went and fought off this invasion of the world. And they defeated the invasion, and then they went out throughout the galaxy to root out Dire Wraiths wherever they could find them, so the Dire Wraiths couldn't invade other worlds. Rom shows up on Earth. He shows up in West Virginia. You know, really great comic. You know, written by Bill Manlow. The artist was Sal Buscema, great artist. And Bill Manlow, great, great writer. And it really was a neat comic. The initial cover, though, was by Frank Miller, interesting enough. And that's actually what we see on the omnibus. But anyway, the Dire Wraiths are a really cool villain. Even if you don't bring the Space Knight thing in, Dire Wraiths are something you could introduce in your gaming world. So the Dire Wraiths are the shape-shifting race. The males tend to be more technologically minded. They do super science, and the females do the sorcery. But you can mix that up. You don't have to follow those gender stereotypes there. But they could take the form of anybody. They could shapeshift. But they also had the ability, if they basically have a tongue where they could shoot out this tongue tentacle thing, and it'll embed itself in somebody's brain and suck their brains out, and that way they'll get their memories as well. Now that, of course, kills the victim. But so Rom shows up, and they've already replaced a bunch of people in this West Virginia town, right? But he shows up. He has different instruments, so he can tell who's a Dire Wraith and who's not. And he has a weapon called a neutralizer that actually doesn't kill, but it sends them to Limbo. There's a dimension in Marvel called Limbo. So he's sitting there banishing these Dire Wraiths, which just look like people to everybody else, to Limbo. And once they're banished, they end up just being a pile of ash. So basically you have this big silver alien robot shows up and starts disintegrating people on the street, is what it seems like. They send in the National Guard. He has to fight them. And then eventually, you know, it goes on. But the Dire Wraiths are really great because not only can they infiltrate your societies, and you could use them in a fantasy setting too. You know, they have sorcery, they have super science, which it could be neat to have that mixed in your fantasy, as all the great pulps did. You know, this idea of I have to separate science out of my fantasy is a modernism. That's a modern invention. But they also had some great servants. They had Hellhounds of the Dark Nebula, which had a canine form, but they would transform into a more human form to attack. And they were telepathic, so they could track. Really great bad guys, really great minions. You have Hybrid, which was... So when the X-Men appear, they show up because there's this hybrid, this dire wraith and human, a child. And Hybrid's super powerful, but he shows up as a mutant. So the X-Men showed up to find this new mutant. And, of course, Rom shows up to destroy this menace. And Hybrid ends up being a really, really bad customer. And he popped up throughout the years in Marvel Comics. Just really great stuff. I'm just a big fan of Rom. I really like the Dire Race. And they're something you could easily pull into a role-playing game and use. And... yeah, so I figured I would talk about that on the 616th numbered episode of my show. As far as role-playing games go, our After the Bomb session had to be canceled after we had a cascading effect and four of the five players became unavailable. So... that didn't happen, but I did get to play in two games since I've talked to you last. I probably played in more than that. I played in Friday Night AD&D, so I wasn't counting that, and that was a good session, although my character died, as they always seem to die in those games. this, again, was to a poison needle trap, which was kind of sad. And the saddest thing about this is we're playing through this adventure. We're using BX currently in Saturday Night D&D. And we were going through these tunnels. I won't go through the whole session thing. I'll just talk about my character death. We're going through these tunnels, and we came up against this door, this offshoot of a tunnel, and it's this door. The tunnel ends at a door. And my character goes up, and he listens to the door. He doesn't hear anything, so he's just a fighter. We didn't have a thief in the party. He turns the knob, and of course, without checking, he didn't know that there was a poison needle trap there. And although, depending on the game's master who's running the game and their interpretation, as a fighter, he may or may not have even been able to tell if there was a poison needle there. I would have, if I was DMing, given him the chance. If he said, "I'm examining the doorknob," I would definitely give him a chance to find the needle trap. But I didn't even do that. So it's not on the DM at all. I just grabbed the knob and turned it. And a needle shoots out, and I failed the saving throw, so that character dies, and the other characters decide they're going to get through this door, and they can't bash it down, and they cut a hole in it, and it's just a dead door. The door just, there's just a stone wall on the other side. What a useless death. Anyway, it was a published adventure, I believe, so it's not like the DM was just being mean or spiteful. But so that was Friday Night D&D. Then I picked up one of the hirelings we had, a dwarf hireling, and I played them for the rest of the session. So it was fine. I got to play in the One Ring second edition, and that was a lot of fun. I don't know. I'm still a MERP person. I still like Middle-earth role-playing. I like Rolemaster, but the One Ring has its charm. And I think the One Ring does do a really great job of emulating the novels and giving you the game mechanics needed to emulate the flow of the novels. The idea that we're in great danger, and then we have a haven, and then we're in great danger, and then we go into another haven, that kind of thing. And we have councils and discussions, like where Gandalf has to go and talk to Theoden and stuff like that. That is replicated in the council system, the social encounter system of the game. So I think the One Ring is really well designed, and I do like it. But it feels, I was talking with Carl from The Geomologist Presents about this, that the One Ring feels a little too structured to me, a little too closed in. I don't know what the right term is, because he said, "You mean procedural?" I said, "No, not really." But when I think about it, I mean, is it really any different than BX, where you have procedural and every turn, and not every turn, but, you know, every so often you're checking for torches and checking for wandering encounters and stuff like that? Is the One Ring any different than that? Ultimately, is it just a really procedural game? Maybe. It feels less open to me. The One Ring feels much more structured, much more, you're going to play a certain story. It's designed to play a certain story. But maybe not. I don't get that feeling with BX, even though BX is very procedural. I don't feel it as claustrophobic as I do when I play The One Ring, I guess. I don't know. It's interesting because I can't really describe what I mean, but The One Ring doesn't feel like it's open to different kinds of play. It is, of course. I mean, obviously you can do anything with any game, but it feels much more restrictive. But is that just because the procedural elements are different than BX's are? I don't know. I'd be curious on thoughts on that. Do you feel that The One Ring is a more restrictive kind of game than, say, BX? Or are they just different kinds of procedural games? I don't know. I think it's an interesting topic. And being unable to express myself correctly, my feelings on it correctly, probably isn't helping at all. So maybe you guys can help me out on that. The other game, we finally finished our Stay Frosty campaign. That's been off and on with Eric from the Omega 3D Chicken Coop and another player, just when we can make our schedules work. So it's been going off and on for a number of months now. But we finally finished that, and it was great. Almost killed one of their characters. I made their characters a little too powerful, so I scaled the adventure back a little bit because there are only two Space Rangers. And so we had to scale it back a little bit. But Stay Frosty, and this is using the extra rules. So it's not just Stay Frosty, but we're also using Slipgate Choke Point, which effectively turns it into Doom, the video game, or any of these other video games out there. And we ended up playing the module, see if I can say this, Ectotectonics. And so since there are only two characters, I let them be fifth level. And that was a mistake because they were way too powerful. And I only actually hurt them a few times throughout the module. But I think we all had a lot of fun with it. And it was a blast. I'm glad we played through that. I would definitely do Stay Frosty again. I think it's a pretty specific experience. But I don't know of another tabletop role-playing game that emulates first-person shooter like Doom as well. And yeah, I know Doom is a really dated reference, but I don't play video games today, so I don't know what the new modern video games are. So I can't tell you. But if you play first-person shooter where you're running around shooting stuff and hopping around and grabbing power-ups and doing all that, then this emulates that. Again, you need the Slipgate Choke Point expansion for Stay Frosty to really get the feel, but I think it's a great way to play that kind of game. I think with that, we'll go ahead and get into these calls. Let's open up the mailbag.
Who's on the phone? Who's on the phone? Who's on the phone? Who's on the phone? Well, maybe it's your auntie or a joke by your spouse, but the operator's scream is coming from inside the house.
Okay, this first set of messages all have to do with the news about the ending of the show. So I'm going to play them all together and then respond to them all together. I probably should have held all these for the last episode, just like I should have held that song from TJ at the beginning of this show for the last episode. But I like to get things out there. So here you go. I will discuss my decision more next week, but I did want to get these calls out in the wild.
Hello, Jason. Spencer here. Can I just say how saddened I am by the news that the Nerds RPG Variety Cast may be shutting up shop very soon, that the hardest working man in podcasting may be going into retirement. Obviously, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, if you're stepping away from podcasting to give yourself more time to game, I guess nobody can blame you for that. And perhaps that might mean we will get the opportunity to play in a game together once more. I guess we do have the consolation that we will still hear you contributing to every other RPG podcast out there. Hopefully that will continue. But yeah, yes, if indeed you are going to shut up, shut up shop, that is. I hope that we'll still get to hear your voice in one way or another. I mean, it will indeed be the end of an era. And, well, just thank you for everything you've put out there, for your generosity and how much you've given to the podcast community. And, well, it's been a wonderful ride. And I just hope everything's okay with you, Jason. Take care.
Hey, Jason, it's Joe. Just got into work a little while ago. I listened to your episode on the way in. And, you know, I know that you've been putting some thought into ending the podcast for quite a while. So, you know, I just want to say that you're going to be missed by a lot of people. Myself, and many others have enjoyed the show for, well, 600 some episodes, right? So, yeah, man, I just want to thank you for, you know, doing it. You know, spreading the RPG love and knowledge. Thanks for inviting me onto the show. All those times I came in, talked to you, BJ, and everybody else. Really cool, man. I really enjoyed it. It's not something that I am used to doing. It's not something that I ever saw myself doing. But you gave me the opportunity, and you know, I appreciate it, man. So yeah, just want to say best, and game on, brother.
Hey, Jason, I don't know if you're going to play any more messages in your last set of episodes before you wind down the podcast. But so I don't know if anybody else will hear this or if it'll just be for you. But I want to say thanks for all the support you've shown to me as a member of the Anchor community. I think you were the first person to ever leave me a message after my first episode to kind of welcome me into the Anchor sphere, and I've always enjoyed the calls I get from you. I've enjoyed calling into your show, guest appearing on your show, and some of the other stuff we've collaborated on, as well as playing together in the times we've got to play together. So I hate to see the Nerds RPG Variety Cast go, but I certainly understand, you know, there's a time and a place for everything, and we go through different seasons of life, and if that's what you need to do, then by all means, wind it down. And I'm also glad to hear you're still going to be kind of hanging around as part of the wider community, even if you're not doing new episodes. So take care, and hopefully we'll hear from you soon.
Hey, Jason, Riley here. You know, I was late to the whole Anchorverse thing, but I still wanted to call in and say that it's very sad news, or maybe bittersweet, that you're going to be stepping away from podcasting. Your show is a wealth of information, inspiration, and most importantly, I think, community building. So it'll be sad to see a bit of that go. The bittersweet part is that, you know, you probably deserve the break. Probably 700 or so episodes, as you said, over many years, and you're not totally disappearing. You know, as I said on the Discord, it wouldn't be the same listening to a podcast and not having you call in. So, you know, I'm glad to see that your plan is to stay engaged. Anyway, congratulations on a great podcasting career. And, you know, I hope you enjoy your retirement. Anyway, bye for now.
Hey, Jason, Dan of Mans Keep Calling. I'm sitting in my car waiting for the parking spot to be available. And I know that I was making some kind of silly comments on the Discord. I don't even know if you're going to play this or if you'll have any more calls, but it's fine. I just wanted to call in and say that, and I figured this was the traditional way to do it. you know, obviously, we all do these podcasts or blogs or YouTube, whatever we're doing, for a reason, right? We have something to say. And if we felt like we've said our piece, that's a great time to say, okay, let's just put this on the shelf, whether permanently or, you know, for right now. And I think that's totally cool that you're recognizing that you need to do that, even if it will, you know, make me very sad not to hear your voice. But, you know, I'm being serious there. There's something special about the Nerds RPG Variety Cast. I think anybody listening will probably agree that it wasn't just about listening to you talk about stuff. Although, obviously, there's a lot of movies I've watched because of things you've talked about. And a lot of, you know, great memories have come back to me when you mention, you know, celebrities and such that have passed or that are still around and doing things. But I think that your podcast became a great hub of people to call in. So in the times where I was the most busy and I couldn't listen to all the different podcasts I wanted to, I heard all the various voices calling into your podcast, Joe and Carl. And, you know, I'm not gonna start naming people because if I do, I'll forget somebody, but you know, it's great to hear all those, cause I didn't always catch every one of everybody's podcasts. So it was really cool to hear everybody call into your podcast as a central hub. I think as much as, it's important to take breaks and stuff, I do think that's going to be a kind of a hole, if you will, where there's not going to be, for me at least, a place where it seems like most of the podcasts that I were listening to call and I can hear their voices. So I'll miss that part of it, but I know you'll be around in the Discords. We're spinning up some games, so we'll definitely play more together. I'll get you on my show if you're so willing. And yeah. Anyways, whatever you do next, oh, and the blog, I should mention too, because you actually didn't mention the blog in your show. The blog has been great. I've been reading it. I really enjoyed how you took the Omega Man and then you played out a scene. That was super fun. So anyways, I hope you put some comments or the ability to comment on the blog or some kind of a link where people could call or leave a message some other way, send you an email. Maybe that's there and I just don't see it. Because, you know, I'd like to be able to comment on the blog, and I guess I could just comment to you directly, but sometimes it's nice to have comments be public so people can see it. Anyways, hope all is well. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, everybody, for those kind words. Let's see, I will address an order. Spencer of the Keep Off the Borderlands, also known as Free Thrall. So Spencer's been around since the beginning. He was one of the early people I met in the scene, in the Anchorverse, and in this current RPG community that I'm in. Spencer was a participant in the first game I ran for this community, a Barbarians of Lemuria game. We played in a number of games over the years. I do hope to get in more games with you, Spencer. I've always enjoyed playing with you. Spencer was kind enough to take the movie Mundy and keep that alive. So Goblin's Henchman came up with an idea last year that we should once a month watch a movie, like a 1980s sword and sorcery movie, and everybody could call in or send in their comments, and we'd play them all in one episode. And I hosted that for a while, but then I knew I was going to wind down my podcast, so I looked for somebody else to take over. I knew Spencer was a fellow cinemaphile, and so I reached out to Spencer, and he graciously took the mantle of running Movie Mundy and has been doing a great job with it. And in fact, you still have time to call in this month for the current movie, The Dark Crystal. So watch The Dark Crystal, send Spencer your thoughts on it, impressions, you know, whatever, it's childhood memories, and do that by the 26th of April, and you'll hear your voice or you'll hear him read your email in the episode for The Dark Crystal. It'll come out on the 29th of April. That's over on the Keep Off the Borderlands podcast. The next call was from Joe, who runs Raven Guy Games. And Joe Salvador is a great friend. I've been playing games with him for a few years now. I've been involved in the playtest for Reaver, his sword and sorcery role-playing game. You can get the quick start for free now, or might be pay what you want on DriveThru. But the Kickstarter for Reaver, the full game, should come out later this year. One of my big regrets about stopping the podcast now is that I won't be able to help advertise Reaver when that Kickstarter actually launches. I do feel bad about that. Of all the things I feel bad about, that's one of the big ones. Not the only one, though. Lots of stuff on my shoulders. But that said, Joe has been a great friend. We've had some great conversations over the years, offline, online, on this podcast about different movies and different things. And you're going to hear Joe's voice again because he joins me to discuss 48 Hours and another 48 Hours. And you'll hear that here later this month. The third call was from BJ, the Arcane Alienist podcast. BJ has also been on this show to discuss different things. We talked about the Batman when it came out along with Joe. We talked about the Northman. BJ has got a really great podcast over there. Go check that out. And BJ was also a part of Cerebrivore, where we got a number of podcasters together to discuss different topics. And I think BJ and Carl from the Gemologist Presents may get Cerebrivore back up and going, maybe Cerebrivore 2.0. I hope they do. If invited, I would participate in that without a doubt. And I wish BJ all the best. Next, we heard Riley from Diegetic Advancement, a fairly new podcast, as Riley said, but he's already put out some wonderful content, really interesting things, really thought-provoking things, and been a pretty active member of the Audio Dungeon Discord community and other communities as well. Riley's on a number of different Discords, and I look forward to the exciting things that Riley's going to be doing. Daniel from the Bandits Keep Media Empire, recently on Tim Shorts and Joe the Lawyer's Monday Night YouTube show. Really neat episode. Go check that out. Daniel's been on the show a lot. and I'll miss, you know, Daniel, the thing I'll miss the most, the thing I enjoy the most are the conversations with other people, whether it's call-ins and responding to the call-ins or having a guest on the show. If I could have a guest on the show every episode, I would probably wouldn't shutter up the doors. But, well, this is a discussion for next week, I guess. Yeah, Daniel's done lots of great things and is doing lots of great things on YouTube and podcasting. And so check out everything that Daniel's been doing. Actual plays, wonderful, wonderful stuff. His version of Unchained, his version of Chainmail as a sword and sorcery game will be out. You can get the beta version now, and he's working on cleaning that up. But to all these, yeah, I do plan on keep listening. I plan to keep calling into different people's podcasts. I plan to keep blogging. Daniel, the comments are enabled now, so you can comment on the blog. And I do hope to get more gaming in. More gaming, more reading. Maybe actually have a chance to watch more TV. I'll talk about it more next week. Let's play this last call. And this is from MW, the World's MW Lewis podcast. And it's also kind of a reaction to the announcement, but mostly it's talking about Southern Comfort, which is a Walter Hill movie that Carl from the Gemologist Presents joined me to discuss. So let's hear what MW has to say about that.
Jason, it's MW Lewis here. It's a tragedy that the Nerds RPG Variety Cast will be coming to an end soon. I like to listen to your show. I don't always call in, but I do listen to almost all your episodes, and it will be missed. Now, I'm calling to respond to your Southern Comfort, and I think you've done another Walter Hill since you and I sat and talked about The Warriors. And I know that was your longest movie review in the history of your show. But that Warriors is a great movie. But you did another one just a month ago. And I've seen all these movies. So I stopped listening to your podcast about Southern Comfort and put it on and watched it because it's free on Amazon. I don't even think there were commercials. And then I realized I don't think I actually remembered it. I actually thought it had different people in it. Now, I knew that when I listened to half your podcast, I knew I didn't recognize the names. I thought, for some reason, I thought Nick Nolte was in it. So I'm really glad I watched it. And then I listened to the rest of your podcast. And I think you and Carl were great. It was really informative about the movie. I learned a lot. It is a great movie. I like the movie a lot. And I am surprised that Walter Hill said it's not an allegory for Vietnam, and I wonder if, well, I got two thoughts on that. I wonder if, A, he's lying, number one. And number two, whether he's saying it's not an allegory for Vietnam or not, it is an allegory about Vietnam. I mean, I don't care. He could have said it's not until the day he died or dies. I don't even know if Walter Hill's still alive. Or until he's blue in the face, I guess, is the expression. But it is very analogous to the Vietnam War. It shows the leadership of the soldiers is somewhat inept or overzealous. It shows the insanity of the Vietnam War, exemplified with the insane character. It shows the cruelty at times of U.S. soldiers in blowing up gleefully homes of villagers and taking delight in torturing and wanting to kill a prisoner. I mean, these are things that really happened in Vietnam. I find this statement that Walter Hill made, and maybe he made it a lot, maybe he only said it once offhand. I can't remember what you said in your show about when he said it, but I think it's disingenuous, and I think for him, I think he makes the statement because obviously it's clearly, the movie is clearly analogous to the Vietnam War. So it's a great movie, nonetheless, and it's a lot of fun. Of course, it's a little weird in ways because it's like, you know, it's kind of stupid that I guess that a National Guardsman would go all out like that against fellow American citizens, even if they did shoot the captain like that in what would have been self-defense. So I think, of course, for the sake of the movie, they don't have the soldiers try to surrender in any kind of good way and say, hey, you know, this is a big mistake. Let's tone it down. Of course, they got to press it on, which makes me feel it more that it is more analogous to the Vietnam War than just some fictional story like The Warriors. So anyway, that's my view, and keep it up. I hope to hear you complete the set of Walter Hill before you put mothballs on your show. Oh, one more thing. This is MW again. I agree with Carl. Southern Comfort is a partially prone movie. I made my dinner while watching it last night, and so I did get up and maneuver around and do things while it continued to play. I didn't pause it or anything. But I will say, it borderline fully prone, because I didn't find the movie particularly boring in any part, but I had to make my dinner. Now, a fully prone movie, if I had to make food like that, I would just pause the movie, go make the food, and come back and keep watching. But so that's why Southern Comfort gets a partially prone, because I didn't actually pause the movie. I did at one point, but there were some other points where I was just getting up and going into the kitchen and making things or whatever. So partially prone. And Carl nailed it.
MW, thank you for those kind words. I will miss talking about movies with other people on the show, that's for sure. And I do feel a little bad that we're not going to fully complete the Walter Hill retrospective. Everything I've recorded will get published, and I am actually recording another one, hopefully at the end of this week, that you'll hear. But not all the ones that we planned are going to get recorded, sadly. Just the nature of the beast here. As far as the Warriors being the longest movie review that I've published, actually, that's not the case. I'd have to go back through my entire catalog to look, but I know when we look at the recent history of the show, that episode 553, where I was joined by Minion, also known as Rob, of Confessions of Wee Timmer Spooshy, we spent over 2 hours talking about Roger Corman's 1966 film, The Wild Angels. So that was longer than our talk on the Warriors. But regardless, it was a great talk. I really enjoyed it. And again, not being able to record with other people is something I will definitely miss on this podcast. Hopefully, I'll get to join some other folks on their shows, so I'll be able to do that a little bit. Thank you again for the call. Thank you for your participation over the years. And I do hope to game with you and talk to you again soon. Okay, folks, that's it for this episode. I want to thank all the callers. I want to thank everybody else that's reached out to me on Discord or other means. You know, everything is okay. It's just, I think, time to shut the doors. That said, who knows what the future will hold, and we still have a few episodes left, so this isn't the end today. As I always try to say, thank you to TJ for the wonderful music, the transitions, all everything you heard this episode is TJ. Ray Otis for the coffee cup clip art. all the callers, all you listeners, and be excellent to each other.
And remember, folks, if you sent a call in to Jason and you haven't heard it on this episode, have no fear, it will appear.
Joking about your spouse, but the operator's screaming it's coming from inside the house. What's in the box? What's in the box? What's in the box? What's in the box? Well, the audience is pretty sure he took a pretty head, and the only question left is if I could shoot him dead. Bring on the gore, bring on the gore. Butcher is a dice man and oil is by the tipper, and I'm assuming that your partner back there in the wood chipper. Don't look away.